The title of this talk is How to Be a Good Upstream. Well, it could be as well labeled as How to Be a Good Open Source Project in terms of distributions. Okay, about myself, this is my IRC, Nick. I'm a Gentoo developer, a member of the Gentoo Council, and among other things, lead of the Java and recruiting projects for last since like 07. I've done a good share of packaging with for Java projects or traditional auto tools based projects myself. The goal here today is to give you a couple models. If we start with how you don't want to be, here's the tower, and we want to move from the tower to a more community-based model where you get input from else and get better thriving things going on. How many of you here are involved in releasing open source projects or involved in have actually something to release? Okay, that's good. It applies to you then. Anyway, how generally, for people who don't know, how stuff on Linux distributions ends up on end users' machines. First, we have a code monkey coding at home, and then they commit it to hopefully a version control system, and upstream makes a release. At this point, they hopefully do some quality assurance or some kind of control that it at least compiles, and then the distribution packager is able to package it, and they have their own rules for what's stable and what's not. What your upstream considers, or the project, the hackers themselves consider stable, is not maybe something that Debian main considers stable at the day of the release. And in the end, it's... Okay. And in the end, it ends up to a user running a Linux distribution. What a packager does most of this time, you have a release to start with, building, making distribution packages out of trunk or head or whatever is not really something they strive for. So hopefully you have a release to start with. And you try building it. If it works, you commit it. And you usually have a packaging script from the last version to start your base your work on. And of course, if you're a good upstream, it's an instant success and everyone's happy and end users get the latest version. If it's not, it doesn't build, it has problems, then you start to iterate and you need to modify the build script. If you have, for example, switch your build system from AutoTools to CMake, it might need a considerable amount of work for a distribution packager instead of just bumping the version. Okay, so I'll let these guys sit down. And okay, what should be a goal? Your goal, if you want your stuff in distributions, the easier it is for the packages, the more likely it is to end up in end user systems. And of course, if it doesn't build, it takes a while, and if it needs patches, it takes even more time to get in the end user systems. So it's a worthy goal if you want someone to actually use your code. Of course, if you find that it's all only sits in your Git repository and GitHub, then, well, that's your choice. Okay, so how to get your project packages? You don't need to be writing the build scripts yourselves. Most distributions have some kind of a bug tracking system, which, at least for Gentoo, doubles as a feature request and whatever. I have a problem database, not generally just for bugs. But you can just go there and just type in the URL of your project, and I would like this package. Of course, that guarantees you nothing. Someone has to actually do the work. But if people find your code useful, then someone probably wants to use it, and a developer who wants to use it usually packages it too. And if it's a weird science project for calculating something in a nuclear reactor, then perhaps there's no one interested. Okay, So about distro practices, well-behaving auto tools. You can use auto tools in many ways, but let's say you use it in a standard way, and you the configure script works, and there's no voodoo involved, which you would have to account for in the packaging script. Then most distributions have done these kind of projects, packages for these kinds of projects so many times that they know what they're doing, and it's quite straightforward. And also, it's not just all the tools, but about everything in common. If the distribution is doing Java at all, they know Ant quite well, or CMake, if they're packaging KDE at all. Okay, so we are going to the actual tooltip section this time. When you release something, the distribution stores checksum like SHA or MD5, but probably not these days that much anymore. But if you see there's a problem with your release, you never ever change your release tarball. It's again because it, well, the hash doesn't apply anymore. And for example, in terms of Gentoo, the user gets the same tarball on their system as what you release to your FTP servers. So if they download it directly from FTP, well, of course, we have a mirroring system, but you change the file, then they get a failure, and you get angry users because they can't build it anymore.
Primarily binary, like Debian or Fedora, stuff like that. If the file name doesn't change, then the maintainer will probably not notice that there's a new release out or that something's changed, and the change doesn't propagate to the distribution at all.
At least in case of Gentoo, it breaks the checksum, but yeah, that's a good point. For binary distributions, the user never downloads directly the tarball which upstream releases. The second bullet point is that if you're releasing a tarball, many projects have different build settings for maintainer builds, developer builds, or release builds. And you should have your settings in such a way that when you go in .configure make, it builds, doesn't build your debug binaries or anything like that by default. So you get a... When the end user, at least on Gentoo, they usually want to build it with optimized binaries and not things like that. So we get to the second point. We have CFlags. Don't use WError, because in a new GCC release, we don't change the build script, but in a new GCC release, they usually add a lot more warnings, and your software probably doesn't build anymore. And getting a new GCC release into Gentoo, it takes quite a while before everything is migrated. And without a lot of work, it would never happen. And some people think that the user don't know what they're doing with CFlags, but it does have a lot of legitimate uses. For example, on if we're not talking about x86, you might want to control the bitness of your binaries, like 32 against 64 bits and things like that. So things are actually needed. You need a way to pass in flags to compilers and things like that to be able to get it work at all. And of course, you want to actually document what you're doing in change logs. Reading, for example, JIT logs of 1,000 commits to find out that there's a security fix in commit 563 of the change log is probably not something that gets noticed. But if you have a change log saying there's a security fix here, someone might actually notice and do the appropriate things needed to get a security releases and faster staling and things like that. When to release? Release early, release often. So hopefully a lot of you have heard this phrase before. But yeah, if you release often, it means that end users get your code faster and you get more testers. And when you get more testers, you get more bugs and you improve your code and the cycle continues. Release early, well, of course, the same thing applies. And the distributions, even if you release often, not all the versions end up from like in Debian, it goes down from, let's say, unstable testing and things like that. Not all of the releases will end up in main or in Gentoo. There's two stages from testing to main, but they do still have a considerable user base to find out which of those versions work well. So even if you release often, you don't necessarily have to make sure that they're all of the best possible quality, because there's people testing in between before it ends up in like Ubuntu 9.10, hopefully. Yeah, true. But it's a trade-off. The faster you put it in a stable, the more likely there's to be bugs. And of course, the maintainer has to care in the first place. if you want something that's guaranteed and certifiable, probably enterprise distributions are much more slower moving target. So you know, has been tested for a couple of years before release. But of course, how fresh the software there is another question. Okay, so dependency is a nice issue. What distributions actually do is they handle dependencies for you. So it's an important part for a from a packager's perspective. So if you have optional dependencies, we want to be able to configure them and disable them. Not all users want to, if you have a database abstraction layer, so not all users want to install MySQL, Postgres, and Firebird, and things like that as part of the dependency graph. If they all they want to do is use a music player, which has a as a library to store their albums in. Don't bundle anything. If you have libraries like zlib, and you have a copy of the source code in your repository, well, it's has had quite a few security problems lately. So if you have a static copy, would you remember to update it and follow the upstream releases? And because it's not even your job in the first place. The distributions are supposed to be handling just, so you're just doubling the work. Link dependencies dynamically. If you do static linking for everything, it's still the same security problem, and people don't probably like the huge size of the binaries on their systems. Using libtool can help you with shared libraries in autogonth if you want to go that way. Versioning. Okay, don't reinvent the wheel. There's probably quite a few guidelines out there, and once you have taken something, don't change it and think something else is better. Beta is newer than alpha. Basic rules 0.9 is newer than 0.8.9. And if you do, usually there should be some kind of a matureness relation between the versions. If you release 0.1 and the next version is 10.0, well, it's kind of hard to figure out where your project is going. And some of you might recognize the reference to 4.0, namely one desktop environment releasing a while ago. Even if you try to communicate, people have some perceptions of what how the release numbers work, and you can't just work around them with PR, which half the people don't really read. Okay. Build systems.
I totally agree on the Eskons bit, thank you.
Okay, so in the beginning when you start coding, writing your makefile by hand seems easy. But when you have one file, it might actually work. But when you're releasing something that's a little bit more complex, you might need want to be using anything more sophisticated, like auto tools or whatever is standard for the language your project is written in. Nah, if you're a distribution packager, it's not all C and C++. There's a lot of other languages, which is just fine. But if you're writing a Ruby gem, I wouldn't be using and. Or how many of you know what and is? Yeah, okay, most of you. Okay, good. If you think about the developer dependencies too, for a source-based distribution, if you write things in and, it means you need to install Java to build it. And if you're from source distribution, you would need to install Java to build your Ruby gem, which users don't like. They pretty much like to keep a minimal system instead of installing half of possible compilers and things they can think of to install something they want to use. They don't really care how it's built, as long as it installs and installs fast and with as little dependencies as possible. Build systems. So tarballs. When you make a release, I've seen plenty of releases in Java world where you have a zip file, usually Windows, so you make a zip. And inside it, you can have bundle dependencies and version control directories. So you have like 20 megabytes for a release. When you go and strip out all the stuff, there's maybe 1 megabyte left. So the file gets released, mirrored everywhere, mirrored on distributions. It multiplies very fast, and useless space gets used. Consistent, yeah.
I'm looking at you, Mozilla. Mozilla Firefox does this.
Yeah.
And all the other Mozilla projects. Includes CVS directories, doesn't version the directory under the tarball. It's just, it doesn't look like a release. It just took the CVS checkout and packaged it, but.
Very, very annoying.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, if you're building it manually, it's very annoying. But for Gentoo, you don't. I didn't think about it because you have a temporary directory in the first place where you're doing all the work, so it doesn't come up. But yeah, that's annoying too. Yeah, you do it in a home directory or something like that, I guess. What does unpacking consistently mean? Well, if you have a first version, you have a foobar hyphen your version, and the next version is foobar underscore your version, like that. It doesn't build the first time. Actually, with SQLite, their documentation tarballs, I think they had two scripts for making them. So every other release, it was underscore, and every other release, it was hyphen. So it kept breaking for me, which I didn't like that much. But these days, it seems to be fixed. If you...
Listen to the downstream. Would that have to engage with your upstream and tell them what's wrong?
Yeah.
I've had downstream engage with me like that.
Yeah, I want to repeat it for the...
I said, listen for downstreams. When that happens to you, engage with your upstream and tell them what's wrong.
Yeah, it's so coming later in the show. Stable URLs. If you release something, then you go download it. The next version, you want to keep it around for first. And if you have like an archive site, you want to move it not like right after the next release, but after that. Because, for example, if you're packaging something and you notice you're like a couple versions behind, then you take the latest release. And, well, it doesn't build, it's bugs and whatever. You might want to actually try to build the release before. And if you can't find it, it gets a little bit tricky. And it's extra work. We're all slackers and want to avoid work. Horrors from the dev world. In general, distributions don't like systems that download dependencies automatically installed to home directories and are... Oh, yeah. But that's from my world. But you're solving that problem, aren't you? And if you release, you want to release binary. Don't want to release binary, but actual source code releases. In the Java world, it's quite common to release only binaries with a pre-compiled jar file. So you want to make sure that your source is actually available and not releasing only Git tags in GitHub and things like that. It doesn't really work. Release actual files. So project management. When you have a downstream project, you want to be available so we can actually relay things back to you. If you make release announcements, a good thing is to have release-only mailing list. So if it's done on CVS commit mailing lists where there's like 10 emails a day, it's kind of hard to pick up. But if you have an announcement only, the packagers can subscribe to the announcement mailing list and actually follow it more easily. They might not be interested in your day-to-day work, but when you make a release, they're very interested. And make it easy to file bugs. Mantis sucks and things like that. So, bug flow. We do act as a filter between upstream bug trackers, and so you might not see everything, but we do try to file things back upstream, which makes sense, hopefully. It's for end users, it's kind of hard to know where every bug tracker is, so we just try to encourage them to file everything in our tracker. I don't know how other distributions do it, but probably anyone know here, Debian, Ubuntu, yeah.
Take this one, it's switched off.
Anyway, on Launchpad, which is the Ubuntu bug tracker, it's just we just link bugs to upstream, and whenever a bug comes in, we try to see if there's an upstream link, upstream bug available, and if not, we file them. And yeah, the same, just it's probably the same for Debian as well, so I don't think there's much difference.
If I may pick in on Debian,
yeah.
In Debian, the case is usually that it depends really on the packager. There are packages that prefer where you file it yourself in the upstream, or you can actually. There are many that forward bugs that are relevant. It really depends a bit, but we have some upstream bug tracker thing that will compare our bugs against the upstream bug. Mm-hmm. But mainly, it's a manual process.
Really. Yeah, it's same in Launchpad. So,
speaking from an upstream perspective, we get the bugs. Users may report them to your bug, but other users will report them to us. We get them. Sometimes we get them when they're bugs in the distribution rather than in our product too.
Yeah, that's true. It's kind of hard for users sometimes to figure out where to file things. And even if you have automated tools, people will still ignore them. So it's very hard to make a bulletproof process for that. But if anyone has ideas, feel free to propose. So what did I forget? Hopefully we have here a lot of people who are doing packaging or upstream work. So it's a good time to give suggestions and get a discussion going on more ideas. Yeah.
Well, one thing I really absolutely hate is, for example, SourceForge, because when you try to download a file, you usually get a 302 permanently moved, and you get a 301 temporarily moved, and then you get a 200 file found. But even if the file is not found, you get a reply, which is a stupid index.html, which means that I try to unpack it and I think, oh wait, that's not even an archive. And then I'm quite upset because I have to find the file. The only one that's worse is Berlioz. And I think no project should host anything there. Because... No, I mean...
It's a queue. question is secure.
How does Launchpad help?
It's better than SourceForge or Berlioz.
I'd like to gather opinions for how do other people manage if you have a project that has is a really popular project, produces a lot of bugs, report bugs to the distribution uptracker, but the packager is not able to handle the bug flow, and time passes, and you know that most of the bugs in your distro package in your distro bug tracker is probably fixed in a new release, but you just don't know. What do people think it's acceptable? Is it acceptable to just close the bug and say, dear user, please try a new version? Or what guidelines do people have for that?
Well, at least we have a status, resolving status of test request. If the user is actually active, they will probably test it and find out it works. And if the bug manifests itself again, someone will probably file a new bug. Yeah, that works too, but it's a question of the individual maintainer, what he wants to do. Probably if it's a very old one, test request goes fine, but if it's filed in the last like month, maybe opening is more prudent, but at least in the 10.2 book tracker, there's open bugs from like years and years of past, and no one has looked at them.
Yeah, I would like to make a comment about...
A little remark about the source fork. There's one URL that works pretty well, and then you get a 404 without any content. It's downloads.sourceforge.net/ then the Unix account name of the project and then the tarball. So maybe use this.
Good tips.
Yes.
Well, your talk is called How to Be a Good Upstream. I also like to make some comments about how to be a good downstream.
Yeah, feel free.
Yeah, so so I'm FFmpeg upstream, and he's the Debian and Ubuntu packager, so he's we know about this from firsthand, and a few comments I'd like to make is for packages not to patch packages, but instead patch the upstream directly and tell the upstream about their problems, because sometimes I go hunting through distribution packages and see how they patch FFmpeg or MPlayer or whatever, and of course they all do.
Can you speak up a bit? Yeah,
and
hold it.
I don't know if it's on, but
they are on. But the problem is that oh no, that one isn't on. Okay, I give you mine. Sorry.
Okay, I'm trying to speak up. Is that better? Yes. Okay. Don't patch the packages. Instead, talk with your upstream and forward the packages there, or have it fixed there in a clean way. So.
If I may comment on that, it all works very nice in theory, but the practice is that sometimes. As a distribution maintainer, you will find that you have a patch that makes a lot of sense for your distribution, but doesn't necessarily make sense for the upstream, or that the upstream doesn't agree with. Because, for instance, you're trying to get everything to look the same in your distribution, and that means you need to patch this particular bit so that it looks the same as all the other packages that do the same thing, but your upstream doesn't like that. So you need to carry a patch to do that. In theory, I agree that, yes, most patches should be sent upstream, but there are patches that just don't belong there. And there are cases where it doesn't make sense to do that.
I know that there are some patches that will stay local, but my experience is that most of the patches should not stay local. For the FFmpeg, so when Reinhard took over and we finally had a good interaction, because before the packager was just not very active, then there was a dozen patches. I reviewed them, and I applied one state, and the other 10 we threw away.
Well, I'm not saying it's going well in all the cases. I'm just saying.
If I can add something, I'm Gentoo developer. I've been upstream for Xeon for a while. And sometimes you have patches that it's not easy to merge upstream. When I first took over Xeon, I had a 14 kilobyte patch that just went to fix the problems with dependencies and with the libraries bundled internally. And upstream rejected it. But that didn't mean that I had to keep it local to Gentoo. I actually was able to just take it, make it optional, left the default behavior, just what upstream wants, and then added a simple switch to move to what we need. For what I can see in Gentoo, almost all the patches just need to have a conditional part that can be enabled just when it is needed by the distribution. And that will be an upstream problem if such a patch wouldn't be merged, even if it's just conditional or even it's just something that the distribution enables. As long as the default is what upstream wants,
I think it should be merged. Clarify that I'm not saying that it's always a good thing that there are patches or something. I agree. In many cases, patches that are kept in distributions shouldn't be there and should be sent upstream. There are cases, there are definitely cases where it's going wrong, and I certainly agree there. I'm just saying that in some cases, merging patches upstream just doesn't work, because in some cases there are cases where it is a legitimate patch that does need to be kept in the distribution, does need to get local. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that you're not right. Certainly, there are cases, and even in the case of FFmpeg and mPlayer, that's a good example where there are historically have been many patches in distributions that really didn't belong there. But it's a bit of an edge case in some cases. Do we send this upstream? Do we keep this locally? I think in many cases, it's not being done right currently, and definitely there's room for improvement.
I have to say, in my history of 5 years working in Gentoo, the only two upstream patches I couldn't send up were one for Avidemux, because I actually wrote it twice. It was a 40 kilobyte patch. Upstream seen it. Oh, I just will take a couple of lines of it, change it completely, the code for it, patch it didn't apply, change it again. Upstream still doesn't care, still bundles FFmpeg, still patches it FFmpeg over and over. And the other is related to the Mono project. Fedora and Gentoo, at least I think Fedora as well, install Mono on lib64 for a 64-bit install. And Novel actively refused to even make it conditional to install there. But that's one very, very edge of a problem.
Two small remarks to that. First, the issue is different when you are dealing with a temporary distribution patch. So you fix something, so for example, a package builds correctly, you submit the patch upstream, and then it sits there just months without any activity. So in this case, I think it's needed to have distribution patches. And one other thing that's also needed is I'm downstream for a BSD project, MirrorBSD, which is a relatively exotic platform. And sometimes when I submit patches to fix the build on our systems, I get told by upstream, your platform is irrelevant, go away. What should I do then?
Just one more remark to that. So I was just saying that, or trying to say that the default should be don't patch. Of course, if the upstream is vacant or inactive or stuff, then you have to patch. But you should by all means try not to patch. Also because I saw all the people doing the same patches, doing the same stuff, and if instead they had told me what they needed, for example, Reinhardt made some patch and he looked at it and said, oh, wait, half an hour later I had fixed it in a better way. And it was just really... I gave him what he needed.
What? For Xeon as well as when we were bundling FFmpeg.
You still do?
Yes, but it's no longer
patched. Right, well, I agree that you would
ideally be that the downstreams actually contact upstream. I think it's not realistic to require us to wait before you applied and made a new release, because you made a release and then we, as in Gentoo, have to release it and we have to have it fixed.
I'm not saying that.
It looked to me like you said that we should not apply patches, so we should wait before you did it. So I think that's not working. Of course, we should cooperate. But I think we will have to have our local patches before you will release them.
Well, depends on the kind of patch. But if upstream rejects it or doesn't want it or so, then maybe the distribution should also not try to do it.
Okay, but we do need certain
and
patches,
also
as has been said before.
Also the upstreams know the packages much better and usually can come up with better solutions and do it quicker. And not,
I think the great lesson has to be communicate. And when we're having this discussion, I have to mention the famous case of Debian and OpenSSL and all those inadequate keys. it needed more communication. Yeah. I mean, I'm best known for my role in Apache. We have an issue with Debian there because Debian repackage Apache in such a way that it's virtually unrecognizable. All the users of Debian come to us for support because our documentation doesn't correspond to what they get. And of course, Debian derivatives, Ubuntu, etc. And that's what I keep saying we need from them is to engage with us so we can come up with something that works for both us and them.
I didn't understand what you said, just maybe I'm just saying the same. One thing for upstreams is just try to listen, try to cooperate, and don't think your distribution or your system is the only one. I really often had it with upstreams that said, Gentoo is broken anyway, things like that, or who cares about your strange linker flags, or things like that. Try to really understand if someone sends you a patch what his problem is. And like with the guy from MilBSD, it's only good for your project if it runs on MilBSD or any other strange system. So cooperate with all the downstreams and not just the one from your favorite distribution.
Just one additional push with that there is I've run into some upstreams that say, no, I don't want you to package it. They've literally said that. No, don't package that. That violates my GPL on it. No, he said, do not package it whatsoever.
There's a question there.
Same dumb question as before, I'm afraid. What's the best way to announce new packages?
Announce new packages? Well, I do know FreshMeet is followed by some people, but the best way is to just go on file box to each distribution tracker for which you want it included, and if it gets popular enough, the minor ones will follow most likely. I don't have any better way in mind, but does Diego have there?
I've had a little bit of an headache because of release notification before. So instead, I think the best way to announce a new package is to have a project management system that automatically warns the interested parties that a new file is released. SourceForge used to have a very nice main notification system, probably one of the few nice things that were well available among projects. And they actually broke it lately because they now have an RSS feed of all files. And you get still projects like Launchpad that still has no way to subscribe to new release of a package and relies on the upstream packagers to upstream releaser to actually send out an announcement. The best way is to just take the procedure of release which might be upload to a project site, upload for Ruby gems. It's uploading to Gemcatter nowadays. Gemcatter has a configurable feed that allows you to see when a new gem is released. And it's part of the release system. Having an external announcement relies on developers remembering to do something extra. So anything that can be automated, may it be mail, fresh meat, we use it to have an API to update their data automatically. And integrated systems like Bardo still should have it to send the mail when the release is done. It's the fastest way, cheapest way to have release notification pushed to the packages.
You're not just announcing new releases, announcing new packages too.
New packages from scratch.
Yeah.
The most simple way is to contact some downstream developer or make a little bit of a fuss around. So, for instance, I can take one I added lately, Gores. Not sure if the right way to pronounce it. It was named quite a few times in the Planets last month. Source code management visualization tool. I read about it, I package it, and that's the simplest way, make a fuss about it.
We have an ordinary one.
Yeah, a question about licenses, the point about licenses and complaining that, oh, you're not allowed to package this, reminds me that that's pretty extreme, but upstream developers need to choose their license carefully, make sure they understand what it means, especially in terms of what they can depend on, what libraries, what other licenses are compatible with that, and make sure they label their code with the license properly. I actually just had one of my packages kicked out of Debian because it depended on a Perl module which unfortunately had been left with a boilerplate license statement and didn't actually state the correct copyright and license. And upstream presumably meant to release it under GPL plus artistic, but we don't have this clearly stated.
But yeah, you do have a point in the earlier comment that announcing new packages to distributions isn't optimal at the moment. You need to do manual work. But if it's something many people want to use, then probably the users themselves will file bugs to their distribution trackers that I want to use this and this and that.
It's already been said, but upstream developers, please use fresh meat because it allows the downstream people to subscribe to releases, and you really do get mail when new releases are there. So it's very useful. Please fill it in.
As for the patches discussion a few moments before. In Debian, there is a new development with this metadata for patch files. So this is it creates some common vocabulary how to write down the status about the bug. Has it been discussed somewhere else? What relevant bug triggers do I have there? And I think it's a really good idea. It's not that deployed in Debian yet, but I do hope that it gets more extended. And I'd really love to see if we could perhaps agree on some common set of vocabulary across distributions so that we can more easily talk about patches.
So, anyone have comments or is it time for dinner?
A few minutes.
Seems like it is. Thank you.
Thank you.